A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Let us listen to God's holy word with our ears wide open. Now, 6 days later, and this is after Jesus has told Peter to get behind him as Satan. It is after the Samaritan at the well. They're traveling on towards Jerusalem. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto a high mountain to be alone with them. And before their eyes, Jesus was transfigured. His face became as dazzling as the sun, and his clothes as radiant as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, how good that we are here. With your permission, I will erect 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and out of the cloud came the voice which said, "This is my own, my beloved, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." And when they heard this, the disciples fell forward on the ground, overcome with fear. And Jesus came towards them and touched them and said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they did not see anyone but Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountainside, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell anyone about this until the chosen one has been risen from the dead." May we be blessed by reading, hearing, and pondering God's holy word. There are moments, there are times in our scripture when the space between us and the holy lifts, that veil that was spoken about in Exodus, that thin space, and for just a breath. We glimpse that this morning and see Jesus as Jesus truly is. The transfiguration is one of those moments. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, those 3 favorite guys, up high on a mountain. It's the same mountain story that Moses has gone up to get the tablets, because going up on top of mountains is holy space. It's thinner space. You're closer to God. And I think a lot of hikers would say the exact same thing, that by the time you get 4,000 feet up, 40,000 would be really bad, 4,000 feet up. But they get up there, and suddenly this ordinary man, rabbi, that they have been following him for 3 years, shines like the sun. His clothes become dazzling white, I think iridescent, just sparkles all over the place. Moses and Elijah show up for the party. They come to the conversation. And then a bright cloud overshadows everyone, and the voice says, "This is my son. This is my beloved. This is my chosen," depending on the version that you're reading. "Listen to him." It's a moment of revelation. Absolutely, I'll give you that. But this morning, I'd like you to think about how it is also a moment of invitation. The transfiguration is not only about Jesus being changed. It's about the disciples being changed. And when we live into the story, as we are called to do, is to be part of that story, it's about us being changed. On that mountaintop, Jesus is revealed in all of his glory. And sometimes we want to stop right there and just stay right there. But the gospel according to Matthew is careful to show that the disciples are not spectators. They are participants. They are drawn into the light. They are overwhelmed by the light. They are even knocked to the ground by that light. Transformation in Scripture throughout the Bible is rarely, if ever, gentle. It disrupts. It unsettles. It exposes what we'd rather keep hidden. It also awakens us to what is possible. The disciples on this morning's story see Jesus clearly, and in that clarity, they begin to see themselves differently. They're not just followers. They are witnesses. And there is a difference between being a follower and being a witness to something that happens. They are the bearers of the light. Now, this is the same light, just so that we keep connecting here. It's the same light that we heard about last week, which was actually some 10 chapters ago, when we were told, when we were reminded, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Those words were spoken to us today just as much as they were spoken to the disciples then. We are the people who will carry this light down off that mountaintop and into the world that desperately needs it. In Matthew's telling of the transfiguration, his voice emphasizes the voice of God. And the voice does not say, "Look at him." We don't hear the voice in the cloud say, "Admire him." There is no build a shrine in this moment. The words from God, the only one action word that we hear from God's voice in this entire piece, is listen. One word of action, listen. And that, I think, is because transformation begins with listening. Transformation, when we share our stories and actually listen, we find out that we have far more in common than what divides us. Because transformation begins with that listening, deep, attentive, courageous listening. Listening to Jesus when he speaks of loving our enemies. Listening when he calls us to forgive 70 times 7. Listening when he says that the last will be first, that we are to pick up our cross and to carry him, follow him, pick up our cross and follow him. Listening when Jesus insists that the hungry must be fed, the stranger welcomed, the naked clothed, and the oppressed set free. We are called to listen. The Transfiguration is not a spiritual fireworks show. As my son, when he was in confirmation class, said, no, it's just a great big disco ball with the lights bouncing off all over the place. It's not that. It's a commissioning. It's a reminder that discipleship is not about staying on the mountaintop, but about hearing God and seeing Jesus clearly enough that we can follow him faithfully back down into the valleys. Personally, I think that many of us are like Peter, not just in this story, but in lots of places, that we are like Peter. And I say this because Peter is such a human in the stories. We hear him this morning, Lord, it is so good to be here. Let's stay here. I'll build something permanent for you. Right? And depending again on the translation, it's a shelter, it's a tent, it's a house. Now please note that Peter wants to build the shelters to give homes to three nomadic men. Right? And it's not so that they can have their own housing, right, and be safe. Peter wants to build these three nomadic men, these three unhoused people. He wants to build them houses so that he knows where to go back and find them, so that he can go to them instead of finding them out on the street with everybody else. So there's something to think about how we do with our housing, but I'll move on. Jesus does not stay on that mountaintop, and he won't allow Peter, James, and John to stay there either. He gently touches them on the shoulder. He lifts them up, and he leads them back out into the world. Because transformation is not to be hoarded. It is not to be kept in one place that we go back to. It is for us to carry out and to be lived. The world does not need more spiritual mountaintop collectors. It needs people who have seen the light and are willing to carry it into the places of shadows. We are called to transform our vision. Not as a collection, we are called to see the world as Jesus sees it, through our transformed vision. Not as a collection of problems, but as a field ready for healing. Not as an us versus them, but all of us beloved children of God. Not as fixed and unchangeable, but as a place where resurrection, healing, new life is always possible. We are called to transform our hearing. We live in a world so full of noise. Noise, not yet the bird chirping that we could have heard yesterday, but the noise of the world, the opinions, the outrage, the distractions, but the voice. God's voice coming from the cloud still speaks. Listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen to my beloved. So what would we change if we listened to Jesus more than we listened to the fear of scarcity, cynicism, or the loudest voice in the room? What would change? We are called to transform our courage. Coming down off that mountaintop means stepping into work. And any of you that are hikers know that coming down the mountain is a whole lot harder than it is going up. It's harder on your knees. It's harder on your back. The view isn't as good. We want to stay up there because it's hard to come back down. But stepping back into the work means confronting injustice, choosing compassion, practicing mercy, telling the truth. All of these echo from Micah's last week. Loving people who are hard to love, giving ourselves to the work of healing our communities. Transformation is not a feeling. It is a practice. And we are called to transform our hope. The transfiguration is a preview of the resurrection that is to come. It is a good last story before we start Lent on Wednesday. And if you noticed, this story starts the same way as the first story did in Epiphany. This is my son, this is my beloved, this is my chosen. When Jesus comes up out of his baptismal waters. It's the same words finishing off the season. It's a glimpse of a world made new. A reminder that God's glory is not confined to the mountaintops, but is breaking into our everyday, ordinary life. Hope is not naive. It is luminous. It is the light that we carry because we have seen the light in Jesus. When the disciples fall to the ground in fear, Jesus, I can imagine, just gently touches them on the shoulder. Jesus is not full of thunder. He's not full of judgment. He's not saying, "Don't be such a fool, get up off the ground." He puts a gentle hand out, helps them up. "Get up," he says. "Get up, don't be afraid. It's okay." Transformation begins there, with the touch of Jesus, lifting us from the fear into faith, from paralysis into purpose, from awe into action. The Transfiguration is not a story about Jesus changing. Sure it is, but no, it's not. It's a story about us changing because we have seen who Jesus truly is. And it calls for us to do the same, to be transformed, to listen more deeply, to love more boldly, to act more justly, to hope more fiercely, and to carry the light, for we are the light of the world, to carry the light of Jesus into every shadowed valley that we enter. Because the mountaintop is not the destination. It's the revelation of that prepares us for the work that we have to do right here. Thanks be to God. Amen.